Amen. Matthew chapter 16, let's look there together this morning. In verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to understand your word. Speak to our hearts. We're thankful already for what has been done in your name today, and we pray, Lord, that you'd receive glory for it. Father, help us now to quiet our hearts as we look at the Word of God. Speak to us with your still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Challenge us, convict us, change us where we need it. And help us, Lord, to be more Christ-like when we leave. Father, again, we ask, Lord, that you just bless in all that is said and done. Lord, may we glorify you. And if there's any that be not saved, may today be their day of salvation. Lord, we'll thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This Thursday, November 11th, will be the 65th anniversary of VE Day in Europe, or Victory in Europe Day. And that's why we celebrate November 11th in Remembrance Day every year and give a moment of silence to remember those that fought and died for our freedom. This week, as I was thinking of the Canadian soldier, I was thinking that it's a life of surrender. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of service. Now, as I was thinking of that thought and reading my Bible, I thought, you know, the Christian life is no less. We are called to surrender, we are called to sacrifice, and we are called to serve. We can draw a lot of parallels, can't we? The Bible says the Apostle Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are called to service. Every child of God that knows Christ as Savior ought to be doing something for Christ. Now, I want to challenge you from the Word of God today as Jesus was speaking to his disciples, but especially to the Apostle Peter about sacrifice, about surrender, and about service. I want you to notice today that if we are going to truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are going to follow him like we should be following him, we must notice, first of all, it is a call of surrender. Look in verse 24 of our text with me this morning. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, look at that next phrase, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. This word for deny appears 13 different times in the New Testament. It's always a reference to either Christ or yourself or a person. In other words, Christ was the example of denial. He denied himself. He denied his pleasures. He denied whatever he wanted to do with life and said, I must be about my Father's business. He decided, he came to this earth and he laid aside glory, and his entire purpose in this life was a life of service. He was going to follow God and follow his Father's will, no matter what that meant. He knew how to deny himself. The Lord Jesus Christ then challenges the disciples in verse 24. He says, if any man will come after me, or if he will follow me, or if he will be like me, let him deny himself. It carries with it the meaning of affirmative action. In other words, if you are going to deny yourself, let me see that you've denied yourself. It should live out in your lifestyle. Our lives should be a life of sacrifice and self-denial. By the way, your actions will mimic your voice. Did you know that? Look in verse 21 of our chapter and follow along with me as I look at a couple other scripture as we look at the life of Peter quickly. In verse 21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine the nerve of Peter rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ? I can't imagine putting my finger in the face of somebody that just walked on water, of somebody that just called Lazarus forth out of the grave. That would be a scary proposition for me. But Peter, in all his boldness, got in his face and said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Can I say this morning that this might sound funny, I appreciate what Peter is trying to do. What Peter is doing is he's expressing his love for Jesus, isn't he? He's saying, Lord, I'm not ready to lose you yet. You can't go to Jerusalem and die. You can't give your life. You can't turn yourself over. You can't deny yourself. But Jesus said, thou savorest not the things that be of God. He was trying to teach Peter, if you're going to follow after me, if you're going to take, if any man come after me, he must deny himself. Peter, I know this isn't what you want. This isn't what you envisioned when you left your nets and began to follow me. And you've seen me do many wonderful things. You've seen me feed 5,000. You've seen me walk on water. You've seen me raise the dead and heal the sick. And Peter, I know you want me to stay a little bit longer, but you're going to have to deny yourself. It's not about you. It's about what the Father wants. So Peter was forced to deny himself. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 26, and we'll see how Peter reacted to this challenge. Not very well, I must say. Matthew chapter 26, and in verse 31, the Bible says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Look at verse 69 of the same chapter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let me say this, my friend. The life of Peter illustrates this to us. You will either deny yourself, or your actions will deny the Lord Jesus Christ. We read back in Matthew chapter 16 how Peter was unwilling to deny self. He was wanting his pleasures and what he wanted in life put first and foremost. He tried to stop Jesus. He tried to say, Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. I want you. I need you. I love you, if you will. And because he refused to deny himself, instead he denied the Lord Jesus Christ just a few hours later. Listen, we need to understand that the life of service for Jesus Christ is a call of surrender. Abraham was called out of Ur, and he was asked to sacrifice Isaac, to surrender his son. James and John were asked to leave their nets and become fishers of men. And Luke chapter 14, the Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's a life of surrender. I was one time listening to a fellow preach. I can't remember his name, and I believe now he's gone home to be with the Lord. It was while I was in Bible college. And he was talking about, this was in Missouri in college in the States, and so it's an American military situation there. And he was talking about how his brother, when he got to be 18 years old, he said to his parents, I'm sick of the rules. I'm tired of listening to you tell me what to do all the time. And so he says, here's what he did. He went out and joined the 82nd Airborne. He was tired of rules, though. He was tired of discipline. You know, when we think of soldiers, that's what we think of surrender, don't we? They surrender their own rights to the good of their platoon or battalion or whatever they're involved in. They give up their freedoms, and they give up the things that they would desire and the things that they would pleasure, that they might be surrendered to the will of our nation. Do you know it's no different for the Christian? We must surrender our will to the good of the kingdom of God. We must pray as Christ taught the disciples to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. as Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The life of a Christian is a life of surrender. Secondly, we see in our verse today, if you look back in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, not only is it a call of surrender, it's a call of sacrifice. In verse 24, he said, "If any man will come after me, let him first deny himself," surrender, look at number two, "and take up his cross." Do you know, it is interesting to me that how Peter was surrendered to the will of God. He did a lot of things for Christ in those 3 years, didn't he? He had a wonderful time with Jesus Christ. He learned so much, and we see that as he matures and grows after the day of Pentecost, Peter did some wonderful things for God. But even in those 3 years, I would dare say that Peter did a lot of great things. And so I would say for the most part, he was surrendered until he felt threatened. Now think about that. He was following the Lord Jesus Christ. He was doing well with this thing called surrender until Jesus said, "We're going to Jerusalem. And there I'll be betrayed, and there I will die on a cross, and I will rise again the third day." And Peter was okay until it came to sacrifice. You know, it's interesting, as I look at this uniform here today, and I think of all the many soldiers over the years that have fought and died for our freedom. You know, many of them in World War I, of course, were conscripted. In World War II, they went voluntarily. And on through the ages now, we have a complete volunteer army and armed forces in Canada. And as I think about that, you know, a lot of people that joined the army, say, 10 or 12 or 15 years ago, had no idea that they might go and die in Afghanistan. And I'm wondering how many that volunteered and got into the army thought, "This is a wonderful thing, and it's helped me in my life. It's brought discipline to my life, and I enjoy the camaraderie with the guys." But as soon as they heard a war broke out in Afghanistan and it was time for them to go, I wonder how many changed their minds. For a while they had surrendered themselves, but now it meant sacrifice. Now, I don't have any stats on that. I really don't. I hope and I pray that the character of our soldiers is much higher than that. But I'm sure there's always a few that turn tail and run, aren't there? Anybody that's ever served will tell you there are those that are afraid. There are those that want the life and they want the family and they want the discipline, but they don't want the sacrifice. And when Christ said, "Take up thy cross," can you imagine that? The Lord Jesus Christ, picture with me as Jesus took up his cross. The moment anybody took up a cross, whether it be a thief or whether it be the Lord Jesus Christ or any other person that was going to be crucified, the moment the cross was placed on their shoulder, it was a constant reminder, "You are going to die." Did you think about that? They put that cross upon their shoulder and they walked through the streets of Jerusalem and they went out to that hillside and the whole time they were walking and people were mocking them and ridiculing them, they had the constant reminder upon their back they were going to die. Brother Dortchin just sang that wonderful song. And Jesus said, as the song goes on, Jesus said, my back also was weary beneath the load and I stumbled as he carried the cross through the streets. The constant reminder of death. The Bible says if we're going to be a true servant of Jesus Christ, not only should we surrender, it is a call of sacrifice. The fact that each one of us are to take up our cross is a constant reminder of the death of Christ. It's a call that we must give our entire lives, if need be, to the cause of Jesus. Let me ask you this, my friend. Where would we be today if the Canadian soldier had not given their lives? Where would we be if our American friends had not defended us so many times? Somebody was saying to us today, or saying to me this week, we should include some of the American soldiers. I said, absolutely. I'm so glad to have Mr. Roberts and Mr. Woody on our presentation because we owe so much to those that served. No matter where they're from, if they were part of our allies, we owe a lot to them. But where would we be if it were not for the soldier that gave his life? Where would we be if it were not for the Savior that gave His blood? I called somebody a couple months ago. And he has a friend that's in the armed forces. And his answering machine came on. He said, "Hi, this is Tom." His name is Tom. I'm not making that up. He said, "This is Tom and Denise." It was friends from ours from Hamilton. He says, "I'm not here right now. Please leave a message." And he said, "Remember this. Only two people ever died for you. The Canadian soldier died for your freedom, and Jesus Christ died for your soul." I think that's a good reminder for us today. We must be reminded that it is a call to sacrifice. It's interesting how Peter was willing to surrender until he felt threatened. Listen, are you willing to follow Christ only until it costs you something? You ever thought of that? This spring, we were in a missions conference in Heritage Baptist Church in Barrie, Ontario. And you know, the missionaries got up and they shared their presentation. And Pastor Pennell got up after in tears. And he said, "You folks realize that this call to the mission field has cost them everything." We often don't think about that when missionaries come through, of what it has cost them to serve. But you know, that call to sacrifice is not just for a missionary or just for a preacher. It's for every one of us, and we are to call to give and to sacrifice if we are to serve Christ. By the way, do you know that you're condemned already? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We are called to sacrifice. Thirdly, this morning, it's a call of service. Look at our scripture again in verse 24. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." And look what it says now. "And follow me." Not only are we called to surrender when it says deny himself, not only are we called to sacrifice when it says to take up your cross, but we are also called to serve when it says to follow him. The word "follow me" in that phrase means to follow one who proceeds, to join him as his attendant, to accompany him, to join one as a disciple, to become or be his disciple, to side with his party. Listen, I'm so thankful today that when I read that definition of what it means to follow Christ, I'm on the victory side. I don't know why anybody would want to follow the world today. I don't know why you'd want to follow the devil today. I don't know why you would want anything of the devil's in your home or in your life or in your car. I mean, I don't understand that. Those are the things that will kill you. We are on the victory side. Bible says, "Follow me." That means follow with Christ. Get alongside with him. Join his band and wave the banner high. We are called to serve him. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, it's not a call to lead. It's a call to follow. We must make note of that. A story is told many years ago of a ship on Lake Superior, a Laker. And it was just shortly after the Edmund Fitzgerald sank. And the captain of the ship was on the boat, and a fog had swept in, and it was such a terrible fog. And I guess the instruments might not have been as good 30 years ago as they are today. And so the captain was trying to radio back and forth and try to get a sense of where he was. And wisely, finally, in the night, the command came down from the head of the ship to cut the engines and to drop anchor. And some of the seamen were wondering, what's going on? How can we just stop in the middle of the sea? And the captain said, "I can't see the lighthouse." In other words, he's saying, "I've got nothing to lead me. I got nothing to guide me. And if I just go off on my own and try to find my own way, there's no doubt that we'll be dashed against the rocks. But we need that light in our sights." And that's all the Lord Jesus is asking us to do. He's asking us just to keep our eyes upon him, to follow after him like a runner in a race, to keep our eyes firmly set upon the Lord Jesus Christ and look at that finish line and press towards that mark and run the race. But if we can't see Jesus, if we've lost sight of the Lord, how can we follow him? So we must be a people of his word. We must keep the Lord Jesus Christ in our sight. If you're truly going to follow and serve the Lord today, you must be Spirit-filled. You must walk with Jesus Christ. You must follow Him. Listen, you must side with His party, as the definition says. You must be a part of His band. In other words, if you're not following Jesus, if you're not living for the Lord, if you're not walking with Him daily, how can you serve Him? It's a call to service. And fourthly, this morning we see in our Scripture, it's a call of satisfaction. You know, maybe somebody's saying, well, I understand it's a call to surrender, and I understand it's a call to sacrifice. I understand it's a call of service, but what's in it for me? Listen, the most satisfying life you'll ever live is a life that is sacrificed and surrendered to Jesus, and a life that is serving Him. Look in verse 25 of our Scripture today. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, what's it say? Shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of the Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Now, I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? By the way, the Bible says that He'll reward every man according to his works. There's another portion of Scripture, I believe it's in 1 Peter, it slips me right now, I'm sorry, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but the Bible says that the Lord is returning and He shall reward them for what He finds them doing. A lot of people I've run into, well, I used to go to Bethel. Brother Walsh and I were out this week and on making a visit, and we ran into somebody that I knew from 25 years ago. And he says, oh, that family? And I said, no, not family. I said, they used to come to Bethel. And I think it happened about two more times while we were out. I ran into somebody else and said, well, they used to come to Bethel. They used to come to Bethel. They used to work on the bus, teaching the Sunday school, singing the choir. They used to come to Bethel. I can't. And finally, Brother Walsh said, did everybody in Simcoe used to come to Bethel? I said, sometimes it feels like that. But you know, you knock on any door in Simcoe and you'll find somebody that says, well, I used to go to church. I used to sing in a choir. I used to teach a Sunday school class. God's not interested in what we used to do. He's going to reward your works, what you're doing now. What He finds you doing, the Bible says, is what He'll reward. We can't rest on the past. The Bible says forgetting those things which are behind. We often take that in the context of forgetting all the bad things and all the sin of my life. You got to forget all those good things too. You can't rest on that. What are you doing for Jesus today is what matters. And so you say, well, you know, I've made a mess of my life. Then come and repent of your sin and get busy for the Lord today. It's a call to surrender. It's a call to sacrifice. It's a call to serve. But friends, there is no greater life. It's a call to satisfaction. There's no greater life than serving Christ. He says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. You know, let me encourage you in something today. There was this dear lady that I pastored. We'd have something going on, something special. We'd have a saturation Saturday. And by the way, we're going to do that here too. Amen. We're going to get some flyers printed up. We're working on that now. And then on every once in a while on a Saturday, we're just going to get as many people as we can and go out and do flyers and knock doors and have a great time. I think it's a great thing. We need to do it. Amen? Amen? We need to be evangelical, reaching out. I didn't say new evangelical. Don't anybody quote me on that, all right? We'll play the tape back if you said I said that. I didn't say that. We need to be evangelizing. Amen? But this dear lady, she come to me and she's crippled and walks with a walker and she can't drive anymore. And she says, oh, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to go and do some doors or some flyers. She says, I guess the least I can do is pray. I said, that's not the least you can do. That's the greatest thing you can ever do. It's a call to service. Everybody can do something. And you say, well, I can't run. I can't jump. I can't walk the stairs and knock on the doors anymore. You can pray. There's something God has for you. Let me tell you what a satisfying thing it is. You know, one day you're going to get to heaven. And I'll just use this young man as an illustration, Brandon Fallington. And you're going to stand there wondering, what is my reward? What is it I have done? And those that were in Awanas are going to be rewarded for Brandon Fallington. And his Sunday school workers are going to be rewarded for Brandon Fallington. and his bus workers that went and knocked on the door and brought him to church are going to be rewarded for Brandon Fallington. But every person in this church that ever said, Lord, bless our bus workers as they go out and get those little kids. Lord, bless those children that come on the buses that they might be saved. They're going to be rewarded for Brandon Fallington. There's something you can do. But let me say this, you'll never be satisfied if you don't surrender, be willing to sacrifice, and be willing to serve. Let's pray. Father, help us understand your word and speak to our hearts today. Maybe there's somebody here today that knows not Christ as their Savior. And Lord, the Holy Spirit's been working on their heart for some time. Lord, may today be their day of salvation. Father, maybe there's others, Lord, that are willing to surrender and sacrifice and make their life right, make their lives vessels that can be used of God. Lord, may today be that day that they make that decision. Lord, to follow after Thee. Lord, I pray You bless this invitation time. Lord, please speak to our hearts and help us. And Lord, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.